Villa, the center with four complete walls for privacy for just those participating to be a part. And leading up to that party, we even brought an artist in to hand paint the walls, crushed semi-precious stones to get some really, really nice paint on those walls. No luxuries left out. And as we got ready, I put on my finest purple garments and prepared to host. We had our friends over and we dined for hours. Plenty of bread, but not for eating, of course. I mean, this was a feast. No, see, at our feasts, the bread replaced the napkins. You wiped off the oil and threw it on the ground for the dogs to eat. No, for us, plenty of meat served, stuffed dormice, brilliantly prepared camel, the luxuries of the Roman world. We even had kosher garum. Do you all know what garum is? No, oh, it's delicious. Petrified fish gut sauce, the best of the best in the Roman world. In other words, the perfect night. Well, almost perfect night. Because we never could get that Lazarus to leave. I mean, he'd been at the gate all through our preparations. I mean, truth be told, I'm not even sure how he got up here with all of those sores. I mean, it's quite the hike up this hill. Anyways, he was just such an eyesore, a pest on an otherwise perfect night. I mean, we try to make our home as welcoming as possible for our friends, and we just couldn't get this beggar to leave us alone. My brothers kept trying to run the dogs out to scare him away, but even that didn't do it. Heck, I think those useless dogs even refused to bark at him eventually. I mean, I just don't get it. I'm sure he knows the scriptures the same way that we do. Blessings and curses, blessings and curses. Clearly something wasn't right in his life. He just needed to put in the work, pull himself up, and quit trying to just be such a drain on everyone else and their earnings. But as it turned out, that was the last time I saw Lazarus in front of my house. From what I was told, he died shortly thereafter. And to my surprise, so did I. My guess is still a bad batch of that garum was to blame. But as it goes, I was buried, and then I woke up in the absolute worst conditions. Scorching heat, darkness, constant thirst, unbearable pain. And to my surprise, across what seemed an impossible divide, I saw him there being comforted. Lazarus, right in the bosom of Abraham. Abraham, I cried. Abraham, save me from this torture. I must have shouted for hours, but I got no response. So at last I had an idea. Lazarus, maybe he could provide me with some relief. Perhaps he could be just as good as any of those servants in my actual lifetime. So I shouted to Abraham, Abraham, can Lazarus bring me a drop of water? And Abraham's response still haunts me today. You received your good things. Now Lazarus will receive his. So in fear, I managed one more request. If this is the way it is, will you at least send Lazarus to warn my brothers? I mean, surely Lazarus would be honored to do this, right? He couldn't meet the standard of a servant, of one of our servants in our lifetime, but perhaps he could now. But Abraham quickly retorted, your brothers have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. But what of the blessings and curses? What of our wealth showing our righteousness? And it was in that moment that I first considered that I might not have understood as fully as I should have. I'd ignored the teachings of mercy and charity and care for the poor and the outcast that Moses taught and that the prophets attested to. I guess as a defense of hoarding all of my wealth. I'd forsaken the care of my neighbor for the preservation of my own life. I've let my wealth become the goal that I work towards instead of the means by which I work towards God's goals. I asked one last time of Abraham to warn my brothers, but he assured me that nothing would make them listen, not even someone coming back from the dead. And while I continue to dwell in this misery, it's that thought that won't leave my mind. What will become of my brothers? What will become of them, citizens of the richest empire on earth? Will they learn to use their resources as faithful believers, or will they continue to keep their focus inward? Will they lift their eyes to the needs and the people before them, or will they simply keep preparing their homes for the next big event and hoarding possessions to impress their friends? Will they continue to look down on the poor and the outcast as stricken for their choices or their failures, or will they offer what they can in an effort to lift them up? With all the resources before them to spoil themselves or to right the world, what will become of my brothers? Would you pray with me? Our God, it's easy to turn inward. It's easy to focus on us and the people who are most prominent in our lives, the things that are most desired are prominent in our lives, and to instead forget and forsake the call that is on our lives to be Christ in the world, above all else. So God, as we take time to reflect, would you help us to see what that might look like in our own lives, to see what it might look like to sacrifice selfishness, whatever form it may take, so that we can care for the people around us. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. During this time, we're going to turn some music on in the background, and we're going to give you some space to reflect in those journals on the last week, to just take some time and see maybe where you find yourself in this story. If there's somebody that you know that this story brought to life that you can help work with them in their own lives, we're going to reflect. If you need to talk at any point in time, if you would like to respond in some way to the service, now is the time to do that. And once we're done, we'll call everyone together for a time of worship. So please take a moment now to reflect quietly. You say a word of prayer for us as we prepare to close out our worship service together. God, you are great and good. You watch over us and offer mercy and grace in all things. And so I pray, God, that as we encounter places of our life where maybe we have not committed to you as fully as we should, that you would again offer grace and mercy today. That you would allow us to come before you, to be at the presence of your throne, to see your glory and have it not only transform our lives, but also just overwhelm us with your presence, your compassion, your grace, and your love for us. May it take root, even as we encounter the dark places or the selfish places of our life. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This time we're going to invite the band back up, and we're going to prepare to sing one more song together. So reflect on this however you need to in this time, but please do so as we sing. Would you stand with us?
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. Because a sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the one risen Son of God.
Sing that one more time, church.
Spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. What in himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high.
So would you go in our risen God's grace, knowing that he has the capability to wash away all sins and to walk with you and to change you in all ways in life. Go in that power. And please come back this afternoon as we spend time together in fellowship and community at Victor Ash Park for the church picnic. We would love to see you there. Go in his grace. Amen.